question. What's this? A chocolate bunny. Your favorite snack. Yes.
Stomach ache.
All of it? Yes, that's a stomach ache. You know, what's he holding?
A carrot.
Yes, indeed. Yes. When I was about y'all's age, I used to love to go out hunting for these on Easter morning. Mom and Dad would make a Easter egg hunt out in the backyard on Easter Sunday, and used to go outside and always looking for chocolate bunny because I wanted to bite the ears off. You know, I often, you know, wonder, what in the world do chocolate bunnies have to do with Easter, with Resurrection Sunday? Then I realized that if we made chocolate Jesuses, we'd have trouble biting the head off, wouldn't we? Yes, we would. Well, I want to ask y'all another question. What is this a picture of? What is this a picture of? It looks like a picture of Jesus' tomb, doesn't it? Looks like a picture of Jesus' tomb. What's this a picture of?
A tomb.
A tomb? What's it a picture of? A church. A church? Ooh, really good. It is also a tomb. Some people think that this is the tomb on the left that Jesus was buried in, and other people think that this is the tomb that Jesus was buried in.
I think the one on the right.
You think it's this one? You think it's this one? You don't think it'd be that fancy in the middle? Woo! Rich people would be buried in this one, not Jesus, right? Interesting thoughts and ideas indeed. But guess what's the same about both of these tombs? Do y'all know what's the same about both of these tombs? People die in them?
What?
They're both the same thing, but they look different. What's the same about them? They're both empty. There's nobody in either tomb. No one's buried in it. It's an empty tomb. Both of these are empty. And that's what's important about this day. We celebrate the empty tomb because we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the presence of Jesus here with us today. Jesus isn't in a hole in the ground or the wall, and he's not in a fancy tomb like this one. Jesus is with us here. He's in heaven, and he's inside of each and every one of you. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus. Yes? Raised. That's the question. Was it this one or that one? They wouldn't have done that. Good thinking. Well, we're going to talk about that today in the message, and if you want to listen to it, please do, because I'm going to talk about this one or this one, and if it even matters, because I don't really think it matters. Let's stand and have a prayer. This is the garden tomb of Jesus. The garden tomb of Jesus in Jerusalem, in Israel. I photographed this back in November of 2006 when I was there. It's an impressive sight. It's a tomb and a garden outside the walls of Jerusalem. It looks like what most people expect to see. It looks like what most people want to see. It looks like a rough-hewn tomb built into the wall with a garden in front of it. It looks like what the scriptures say it must have looked like. When I saw this, I was excited. My heart raced. I felt the presence of God. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I felt the real presence of Jesus just as certainly as I feel him In worship and in communion, I felt him here. Imagine going into then the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem and being told that this is the tomb of Jesus. Looks like a church, doesn't it? Looks fancy. It's covered with marble, cut stone, has a little steeple on top of it, and is itself encased inside a bigger church, a much larger church, encompassing not just the sepulchre itself, not just the tomb, but also the site of the crucifixion, Golgotha. You're looking at the two pictures and you think to yourself, which looks more authentic? And you immediately say, this one. The rough one. The one that looks like you expect it to look like. The difficult thing, though, is to realize that in fact, according to history and geography, the layout of the city of Jerusalem in the days of Jesus, the location of the walls, which are still visible today from a high point near the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, in fact, this is what remains of the actual tomb. Nathan, where are you? There you are. You're 18, aren't you? When you were 17 years old, 100 years, for every year of your life, would have passed between when this site was recognized as the site of the burial of Jesus and today. 1700 years. Christians have been going to this site and recognizing it as the place of the burial of Jesus. But back then, in 350 AD, it didn't look like this. It looked like that. Huh? Uh-huh. It looked like the garden tomb does today. And it takes an imagination, but you can see if you're careful and if you look close, there used to be a wall on either side of this building, on the inside of the building. And what they've done is over the last 1700 years, they've gone in and leveled the cliff face that the tomb was built into, leaving just the tomb itself, just the cave and the surrounding rock. And then they encased that in a marble and stone church. Has a cupola, a steeple on top. And it's so old today, it's falling apart. They have to have scaffolding to hold it up on the inside surrounding it. And they built a big domed church over it, enclosing it. And it's been enclosed in that church now for over 1,500 years. And they've worn down all of the other mountainside and hillside that it was built into. And they've laid stairs to go to the top of Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. And they've placed an altar and icons and crosses and pictures of Mary and Jesus and the disciple whom Jesus loved and Christ on the cross. They've done what I call shrinified. They made shrines out of it. But when you go up those stairs, you note that these marble steps, thick and hard, have been worn by the feet of pilgrims for centuries to the point that there are footprints on the steps as you climb them. And as you approach this thing, this what's called an edicule, the sepulcher itself, the little church within the bigger church, you note the pathways, the walkways where people have walked for centuries to enter it are worn deep. And when you go inside, you see tapestries on the walls, and you see a stooped entrance that you have to bend down to go into. And you see a marble covering around the edges, but then tapestries on the sides. And I was waiting to enter, and I'm standing there waiting and being curious. I leaned over, and I pulled the tapestry back. And I noticed that it wasn't brick or marble or cut stones making up the structure inside. It was rough-hewn rock. And then I went into where Jesus' body is said to have been laid, and I noticed that it was a marble-covered slab, and they got marble everywhere, but there were tapestries on the sides. And I pulled back the tapestry, and yes, rough-hewn rock there too. And I realized that's not an artificial structure. Yes, the outside's artificial. It looks gaudy. It's not what we expect. But geography and history tells us that this was the site of execution, and there was a garden nearby with tombs. And in that exact spot, according to the records from the period, there was a cliff face that has now been removed except for the tomb, which was then encased in marble. We expect to see this. What we see is this. We want to see something simple and historic as we expect it to look like. But history and geography tells us it's this thing. It takes faith to recognize this could be the tomb. So does this, by the way, but it takes faith to see around what people have done and how they have ruined the beauty of the structure. It takes faith to see an empty tomb. It took faith for Mary Magdalene standing there weeping. It took faith for her to see Christ. The empty tomb was before her. She stooped to look inside and was told, "Why are you looking here? He is not here." And she gets up and sees Jesus and doesn't recognize Jesus. She sees the gardener until he speaks to her. And then she hears and knows it is her master, her teacher, her Lord, her Savior, Jesus himself raised from the dead. We look with our eyes and we want to see a simple rough-hewn tomb. That's what we expect to see. But in reality, people have come along and worn it to pieces. The garden tomb is still pristine and looks like it does today because for most of its history, for over 1,600 years, it's been a trash heap until just the 1800s when it was excavated. It still looks like the tomb we think it should look, but it's in the wrong place. The wonderful proclamation of Easter morning, the wonderful proclamation of Resurrection Day, which is what this is, the wonderful proclamation is that the tomb, either of them, both of them, the tomb itself is empty. Amen. We don't know which one it is because it's empty. We need eyes of faith to see which one it is, and that doesn't matter because it's empty. He's not there. What Mary Magdalene was told, the first evangelist, what she was told is true. He is not here. He is risen. And we, like her, often stand weeping. Inside that tomb, that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, inside it, looking at the rough-hewn rock, I felt come over me that same feeling that I had in the garden tomb. the same inner feeling that I had in the garden tomb. That I was in the real, immediate, life-giving, and life-transforming presence of Jesus Christ. Now, that's just a feeling, my friends, but it tells me all I need to know. We are not alone in this world. We live in the immediate presence of the resurrected Christ, in our midst, in worship, in our sisters and brothers, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, wherever we go, wherever we may be, whatever we may be doing, we are and act and live in the immediate presence of Jesus Christ. And we know that because he was raised from the dead, and the tomb, whichever one it was, either of these or neither of them, it doesn't matter. Jesus isn't in it. He is here with us today. If you want to look at these pictures, they're on the internet, on my website. You can also look at them in the back of the sanctuary on the table. It's an amazing trip to make, a humbling experience to stand in either of those holes, because what you realize standing there is that they're empty. And because they are empty, we can be filled with the presence of Christ. Give thanks and praise to God for the powerful presence of Christ in our midst on this resurrection day and on every day that we live. For Christ's presence in us makes every day the day of our resurrection.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.